Yeah, there's just so many distractions, and I can't impress on you enough to focus on just Jesus. You know, there's people get so sidetracked on so many different rabbit trails that they just absolutely lose focus on what's really, really important. You know, there's a big move for the flat earth people, biblical flat earth. You know, it doesn't matter one way or another, does it? I mean, really, what if it's flat? What if it's round? It doesn't matter. What matters is Jesus. That's the only thing that matters. Our existence is in Him. What you prove in the world doesn't mean nothing. What matters is Jesus. And He's not going to fail us. We got some interesting times coming upon us. But it doesn't really matter. What matters is Jesus. He said He would never leave you nor forsake you. You know, He didn't say that if the economy was going to be good, I won't leave you nor forsake you. He just flat said He would never leave you nor forsake you. That's in the Word. He's not going to leave you nor forsake you. A lot of confusion is going on with mixing of covenants. People are just blowing it in this area. They're mixing the covenants. And then they wonder why they're confused. They wonder why things aren't going the way they think they should. You can't mix covenants. I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 8, verse 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. So right there, that first verse, God found fault with the first covenant. So He had to make a new covenant. You know, nobody could ever keep the first covenant, the old covenant. They could not do it. Only Jesus. He's the only one that could fulfill that covenant. So people were always in trouble, and they were always under condemnation because they failed the law. Now, in verse 8, it says, for finding fault with them, He said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. You know, when the children of Israel were in Egypt, they had a covenant with God. And evidently, it was a covenant of grace. People say I'm crazy for that. But Abraham cut a covenant with God. And that covenant did not go away. Even when the children of Israel were in Egypt, they still had that covenant, but they didn't regard it. They lost track of it. Evidently, they didn't learn much about it. They didn't learn much about what they had with that covenant. And the Pharaoh evidently changed, and he wasn't buddy-buddy like he was with them before we had a new Pharaoh. And now they got in bondage and things were really, really bad for them. But God brought them out of Egypt. And he did one miracle right after another. And these people complained. They whined. They balked. At night, he gave them a pillar of fire to keep them warm. Had daylight. They had a cloud over them, evidently, when they walked during the daytime to keep them cool. He fed them with manna from heaven. He fed them with quail. He did miracles in bringing water to them in the desert. And these guys, they just complained all the way, but one miracle right after another happened. That sounds pretty much like grace, doesn't it? Then they got to Mount Sinai and they told Moses, said, you tell God to tell us what we need to do to be righteous before his eyes. And we are more than able to do whatever he says. So he gave them the 10th commandment. And then things started. Actually, there was like 3,000 people died that day. Isn't that interesting? Paul called the law the ministry of death. Paul knew the law inside and out. He was studying to be a Pharisee. He knew the law. Now, go down to verse 10. Color this in. It said, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. They shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. Verse 12, circle this. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith a new covenant. He has made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. How can he not remember our iniquities or our sins? Because of the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus washed them away. Now, it's important for us to understand there's types and shadows in the Old Testament, types and shadows of Jesus. There's things in the Old Testament that are very relevant for us to understand. When somebody took a sin offering to the high priest, and the high priest inspected this offering, said it was okay, and put it on the altar, and God looked at that sacrifice and accepted it. The man was accepted. But notice this. He didn't look at the man. He looked at the sacrifice. That's the same way for us. Jesus went to the altar and was sacrificed. God looked at the sacrifice and said, this is perfect. He didn't look at us. He looked at the sacrifice. People are running around worried about how God looks at them. You need to stop that. Because he's looking at the sacrifice. And he says the sacrifice is perfect. You're perfect in God's eyes. Don't compare yourself. Don't look at yourself as the world looks at you. Look at yourself the way God looks at you. The way God looks at you is through that sacrifice of Jesus. The Bible tells us, as he is now, so are we in this world. How do you suppose God looks at Jesus? I would say pretty favorably, wouldn't you? That's how he sees you. How much do you suppose God loves Jesus? A lot. But yet he sent him to die on the cross for you. That means he loves you a lot. With the same love that God loves Jesus with, that's the same love that he loves you with. A lot. See, we need to put ourselves, we need to look at ourselves as being where the Bible says we are. The Bible says we've been placed in the family of God. The Bible says that Jesus would never leave us nor forsake us. The Bible says that we've been placed in the right hand of God, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. Everything has been placed under our feet. So we need to look at ourselves as being in these places. I know we get bombarded with natural things. You know, naturally speaking, things may be a wreck. But in truth, in the spirit, you're all right. And you've been given the keys to change those natural things. See, God calls things that aren't as though they are. So if you see something that's not the way it's supposed to be, start calling it the way God calls it. Start calling things that aren't as though they are. So maybe your health isn't exactly perfect. In the natural, you may be sick. But according to the Word of God, by His stripes, you've been healed. Start saying that stuff over yourself. Start saying that stuff over whatever challenges you may have. You have a new and better covenant. You're not going to work your way into a better life. You can only receive your way into a better life. Now, that doesn't mean that you get the bonbons and the cookies and sit on that couch and wait for something good to happen. See, you're still going to go out there into the world and work. That's the way things are made. But you're going to receive from God. You're going to receive of His goodness. He'll bless the work of your hands, but you're going to have to put your hands to something. I've seen people that said they were just going to depend on God and they weren't going to work or nothing. And I said, that's just not how this thing works. One time, a young couple, and they had a couple kids. They came in to this restaurant, and I just happened to be sitting there having a cup of coffee, and I visited with them a little bit, and this guy said he was just depending on God to meet his needs. And I said, well, that's good. I said, what do you do for a living? He said, I ain't working. And I said, you're not doing nothing at all? He said, no. And you could just see his wife's jaws just clenching because she knew things weren't right. I said, you need to get to work. No, God's going to meet my needs. He'll meet your needs. But I got a little bit of information for you that you need to know. The Holy Spirit will help you mow the lawn. And the Holy Spirit will help you take a nap in the hammock. But the Holy Spirit is not going to mow the lawn while you take a nap in the hammock. You're going to have to get off your butt and go to work. You're going to have to do something. You're going to have to put your hand to something so God has something to bless with, something to work with. Now, chapter 9 of Hebrews talks about this old covenant sanctuary. Go through all the different little things in this whole sanctuary, but the candlesticks and the golden censer and the ark, all the different stuff. This thing was shielded off. You just figure a big tent, basically. And all the people were outside this big tent. And then there was some priests that got to go in the first part of the tent. And they had jobs that they had to do. But there's something about the furniture in this tabernacle that you need to know about. There are no chairs. When they were in there, they had to be standing up working all the time. And then once a year, and only once a year, and only with shedding of blood, could the high priest go into the Holy of Holies and be in the presence of God. Once a year. That was under the law. So if a man learned the Torah and went through all the steps and did all these things, he could eventually get closer to God. And then if he really excelled at what he is doing, then once a year he could get into the presence of God. That doesn't sound like much of a relationship now, does it? But God sent Jesus down here. And I want you to notice this in chapter 8, verse 6. It said, "He is now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises." Now, Jesus is the mediator of this new covenant that we're in. And he's our high priest. Now here's the really cool thing about the blood of Jesus. And it's by the blood of Jesus and only because of the blood of Jesus. Now we can just get up and walk right into the presence of God as if nothing ever happened. Why? Because now he's your heavenly Father. He's not just your God. You've been adopted into the family, and now he's your loving heavenly Father, and you can go right into his presence. Now what happens if you make a mistake? You go right into the presence of God, because he is the only one that can fix you. Did you know, if you have a Chevy pickup, and something starts going wrong with that thing and it's starting to make a bad noise in the engine, and you take that thing to the Ford dealer and tell them to fix that, they're going to laugh you out of that shop, aren't they? Why? Because they didn't create it. The only one that can fix what's wrong with the created thing is the Creator. Just so a minute, God created us. He created us in his own image. Who do you suppose has the authority to fix us? God, our Heavenly Father. He's the one true people mechanic. I got it's kind of a cool story about, you know, when Jesus, there was a blind man, and he came to Jesus to get healed, and Jesus picked up some dirt and spit in it, made some mud and rubbed it into his eyes, and said, "What do you see?" And he said, "Nothing." He said, "Go to the pool of Siloam and wash your eyes." So he washed his eyes in the pool of Siloam. He said, "Now what do you see?" And he said, "I can see. I can see." You know what happened? Jesus took some of the dirt from broken creation. You know, this earth is broken. And he took that dirt and made something with it, and it didn't fix the man. But he said, "Go to the pool of Siloam." There's something about that Siloam. That word Siloam means the sent one. Jesus is the sent one. Go to the sent one. He went to the sent one, and he got healed immediately. He went to the pool of Siloam. We're always trying to fix spiritual situations with broken creation remedies. You know, there are people living in fear every day, and the doctor tells them they need to take this medicine and it'll fix them. It masks their symptoms. It didn't fix anything. Why? Because it's broken creation. That's the good thing about communion, is that's not broken creation. That came straight from the Father. He sent it to us so that we can receive from Him. It's a free gift. I want you to notice down in verse 11 of chapter 9, it says, "But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands," that is to say, not of this building. God made Himself a new sanctuary. It was not man-made. And He calls it the body of Christ, which is us. This building is just a building. His church is the body of Christ. His church is His people. His church is every born-again believer on the face of this earth. That is His sanctuary. You want to know where God lives? In the very core of a human being. His spirit. He's in there. He's in there. Now let's look at this new covenant sacrifice in verse 12. He tells us, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For at the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." Now there's a big faction of people that are, they have located a red heifer. And they're waiting to sacrifice this red heifer so that they can take for the purifying of the people. They're living in the old covenant. Now here's the thing. Jewish people are tied to the old covenant. We're not to be partaking in that, but it doesn't hurt you to pay attention to what's going on in Israel. As a matter of fact, it would be a good thing to once in a while check in to see what's going on in Israel. See, they're tied into a lot of this end time stuff. Did you know that all of the Middle East nations have now come together into agreement? Iran, Iraq, Qatar, Kuwait, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, they're all on the same team now. The Bible tells us where Israel will be surrounded. They've all came onto the same team now. We're getting pretty close to the end of this era. But only the blood of Jesus could do what all that other stuff couldn't do. That's what we're to be putting our faith in, the blood of Jesus. Nothing can do what the blood of Jesus did. Verse 15 says, "For this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance." See, Jesus actually, usually when somebody dies, it's maybe a relative or a friend of theirs that is the mediator of their will. You know, somebody oversees it. But Jesus came back to life so that he could oversee his will to make sure that it gets done in our life. And what's our part in this? Receive it. Receive it. You're not going to earn your own righteousness. You're not going to earn your own sanctification. You're not going to earn your own financial blessings. You're not going to earn your healing. You're not going to earn anything that God has already freely given you. All you can do is receive it. Well, but yet today we've got too many people that are working real hard trying to earn the blessings of God. Do you see how confused that is? People that are born again trying to live in the old covenant so that they can be blessed by God. That won't work. And actually, it just causes confusion and hindrances to people, especially new people. It really confuses them. We're not to be getting tangled up with the law. We're supposed to stay in grace. Look at verse 20, saying, "This is the blood of the testament, which God has enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission." Go down to verse 28. "Now, Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." The sacrifice of Christ and his shed blood is what we're supposed to be focused on. Everything that we're going to receive is going to be the same way we got born again. We believed it in our heart and we confessed it with our mouth. We thank God for our salvation. We thank God for our healing. We thank God for our finances. We thank God for absolutely everything because He freely gave it to us. Amen? Okay, thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for this new covenant that we live in. We thank you that the Holy Spirit is always here to teach us and show us how the new covenant works. And Father, we thank you that He's here to show us how to stay out of the old covenant and stay in the new, so that we don't get caught being lukewarm. We want to be white hot for Jesus. Father, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.